Welcome to Successfully Unsigned, where we offer professional advice for unprofessionals trying to make their mark in the music industry. Whether you're an unsigned artist, a DIY musician, or just starting out, this show is for you. Hosted by David, Patrick, and Dale, this show is all about real conversations, practical insights, and spotlighting independent artists and industry voices you maybe haven't heard yet, but definitely should. Catch every episode on YouTube, your favorite streaming platform, and now on Patreon, where you can support the show and get exclusive content to help level up your music career.
Welcome to Successfully Unsigned, Season 4.
Season four.
Oh my goodness, it's been a long time coming. We know you guys have been waiting. We've had so many people saying, where are you? Where have you been? We miss you. Like hundreds and thousands of people asking where we've been. It's okay, guys. We're back. And we're back with a very special episode. We have an interview with Dawn today. And I'm so excited about it. It went really well. We filmed in their early 2000s room. I'm currently wearing their merch. And it was a really fun time. So make sure you stay tuned for that. But before, we just want to kind of talk about what's been going on, and specifically in the music world. And unfortunately, David is not here with us today.
Yeah, David's off celebrating life and good things. And, you know, we're only a little jealous, but, you know, it's okay. I'm just kidding. We love David. Wish he could be here with us, but he will be back for our next episode. Can't wait for that. And it has been a long time. And I know you make jokes about, like, you know, hundreds and thousands of people asking where we've been. But honestly, I don't know about you, Patrick, but I've had quite a few people ask,
yeah, like,
hey, when's the next thing coming out? And it's really encouraging to us, or at least to me, when people are like, hey, I recognize you from the podcast. Hey, you know, we saw this. This is really cool. You know, we want to be on it. I've had a number of people ask me in our break, like, hey, can we get on the podcast? And honestly, like, we wish we had the time and the ability
to
have
busy.
Everybody.
What can we say?
And it's such a wonderful thing, but it's so encouraging to us when people reach out and either want to be involved, you know, whether it's as an interview or just they want to be involved in some other way. And, you know, those things really, really help us have some stamina to keep going and to keep doing this, and beyond just the love of the podcast and the love of local music. So thank you to everyone in this this break between season 3 and season 4 who have reached out and talked to us about this. Thank you so much. It's awesome.
And you might be wondering, okay, well, you're back. Cool. But what now? Other than some amazing artist interviews, what else do we expect to see this season? Well, we got industry professionals this year. So if y'all got connections, hit us up.
We're really taking a stab into a new, totally new show dynamic.
Yes.
So
yes.
What you're going to be seeing today is a little different than what you've seen. Actually, a lot different than what you've seen over the last 3 seasons. We're turning this from just simply, you know, a sit down casual podcast into an entire show for you here on YouTube. So in this first section, like Patrick mentioned, we're going to be talking about whether it's current news, current things that are going on in the music industry, along with some current local things that we're directly involved in, or friends of the show, or a fellow unsigned, you know, artists that are local and have been on the show or related to, talking about some of that. We're going to be giving you a really short but very beneficial set of just tips and cool things in the industry going on right now as a little break. And then we're going to be hitting these interviews to finish out the show, to round us around to just an overall experience that we hope that you really enjoy. And if you like this new format, please let us know down in the comments. It's something we're kind of experimenting with to kind of have fun and to break up kind of the flow that we've had and to try something new. So let us know if you like that down in the comments. And of course, like, comment anyway, subscribe, let us know what you think of this show and our show in general. We value every single person that reaches out and comments and talks to us about our show.
Well, almost everyone.
Everyone except for Patrick. I don't like it when he talks to me about the show.
But we also still have our live sessions going on, so no worries. So stay tuned for that with Dawn as well, featuring some new music, some old music. Oh, new music and old music. How can that work with just one live session, you ask? Actually, we have 2 live sessions. But this season of Successfully Unsigned, We're doing, like we said, some things a little different. And so if you want some exclusive content this year, you've been waiting and waiting all these months. Oh my gosh, where's the podcast? Where's the podcast? Oh great, finally there's an episode. Oh, but man, I want even more. Guess what? We have a Patreon! So, yes, we have a Patreon this year that we're starting experimenting with. Like Dale said, comment below what you kind of want to see from that. Exclusive ideas that you might have, or ideas that you might have that you could see being exclusive. So basically how it will work with our interviews is we're going to have our regular interviews, and then we will have our Patreon exclusive conversations. And so you can find all the information about that in the description. But it doesn't stop there. We have, like I said, our regular live sessions that we'll be doing with artists. But this year, we're going to be having them do two different songs. And so one of the songs will be Patreon exclusive. So I know there are a lot of Dawn fans out there because I'm on the same Discord as y'all. So if you want to see Mike and McCall perform, they're amazing. I love them. If you want to see them perform both songs, make sure you stay tuned for the rest of this week for the one here on YouTube. And then go to our description, go click the link for Patreon, go subscribe, and go watch.
And I know it's a really commonly used expression, but if you would be willing to sit down with any of the three of us, myself, Patrick, David Overstreet, if you'd be willing to sit down with any of us once a month for a coffee, we would hugely appreciate if you would do or spend the same amount of money and buy us a virtual coffee and get exclusive content like Patrick just mentioned on our Patreon. Where it's extremely affordable and it gives you something that no one else has access to. And extra behind the scenes things, behind extra just really casual down to earth interviews with some of these people. We've already had a couple interviews this season as we've been gearing up for things that are so much fun. And that extra look at some of these artists that maybe they're your favorite now and maybe they'll become your next favorite artist. And you get that little bit more insight into who they are. And of course, the double feature of the songs as well. So and you can head over to our Patreon and get all of that stuff for $3, $5, $7, $9. Super cheap. All, like I said, price of a coffee. I like coffee. Patrick doesn't like coffee. But you could buy me two coffees. Or you could
I'll buy a Frappuccino. Yeah, good. It's literally just ice cream.
Yeah, they're good.
But we got that. And then there might even be some other bonus content in there in the near future. So just stay tuned. But that being said, I guess we'll stop talking about this current season. Just watch how to see how it goes. And if we break up by the end of this, the three of us break up, and then I guess you'll know that didn't work out, but it's going to work out. Actually, no, I think it really is. Like, we have a lot more structure now, so I'm really excited about, like, how we've been working and just kind of the plans that we've been putting in. And thank you again just for your all's patience while we have been working out and smoothing out everything. But it's been fun. I'm really excited for our guests this year. Like, I'm really excited for all of our guests.
Yeah.
We made a good list and are really excited about who we're going to get on.
You know, it's been a real cool thing to see the evolution of our show since that first episode till now, and just how hugely different it is, both in topic of conversation and production and practicality even. Both on our end as we film these interviews and these conversations like we're having now, and also in the practicality to the listener, to, you know, you. And we hope that shows on your side as well as you watch this. Once again, if it does, if you have been with us this whole time, thank you. And let us know how those changes have been, good or bad, as from your perspective. We're very open and always kind of have been to conversations from the community, whether it's things you like, things you don't like. Those conversations are really valuable because all of this, even though we're not in here making music right now, this is still a form of art. And it's an evolving thing. So
I do think I should have probably kept the pinata costume and just worn it every single episode.
I don't know that I agree
the
same
from the first episode. Like, no one knows what I look like without the pinata costume. I'm like a cartoon character.
You are anyway, Patrick.
That is also true. But speaking of cool costumes and crazy outfits, let's get into some music news and talk about Coachella, everyone's favorite music event of the year. Dale, what do you know about Coachella?
Major festival, one of the biggest in the U.S.
Okay, so I need to read this because my computer is about to die. Okay, so this is from a very, very trusted academic source, Wikipedia.com. Coachella, so it actually started out as a Pearl Jam concert. Did you know that?
No, but that makes sense.
Yeah, so in 1993, Pearl Jam performed at the Empire Polo Club while boycotting venues controlled by Ticketmaster, period. Mm-hmm. We don't like Ticketmaster on here, unless they want to sponsor us.
We'll sell out, right?
100%, 100%. The show validated the site's viability for hosting large events. And so the first one was held over the course of 2 days in October 99, 3 months after Woodstock. No event was held in 2000, and then it started on an annual basis in 2001, and then eventually went into the two weekends that we currently have. The only times they didn't have one was 2020 and 2021. I don't even know why I'm asking you, but do you know the Vanessa Hudgens clip of her talking about Coachella 2020?
Of course not.
Do you know who Vanessa Hudgens is?
Yes.
Okay, Vanessa Hudgens, she was on High School Musical.
I'm pretty sure she's been in some...
been in those stupid Hallmark movies. She's
yeah, the Hallmark princess style. That's right, Christmas yeah.
Twin princess whatever.
I know which one you're talking about. Yeah. I've seen... I think there's two of them.
There's multiple,
I love Hallmark style movies. They're great. They're amazing to laugh at. They're
anyway, awesome. She was the Coachella queen. She would like always post on Coachella. She was like the originator of the like flower crown. Like 2016 Coachella, I feel like, was like prime Coachella years.
This is about right, yeah.
And then in 2020, when they canceled it, she made this very like just... I understood what she was saying, but like people have kind of gone back on what she said and been like, like we get it, but it was just so out of touch and in poor taste. She literally, I need to show it to you, but she literally was like, I don't understand why they're canceling it. It's so stupid. I mean, yeah, people are going to die, which is terrible, but inevitable. And she said it exactly like that.
Hmm.
Referring to COVID-19, and I was like, girl, it was so funny. And so she of course got canceled, but Coachella did just happen. I know LOL's Leah went, and then I don't really know anyone else who went. I've known people who've gone throughout the years, but honestly, for years I didn't even know Coachella was like a music festival. I didn't really know what it was. I just was like, saw a bunch of influencers go and they would just like dress up. And then when I found it was a music festival, I was like, is it even about the music though?
It's a whole thing. It's not, it's kind of like, and this is coming from someone who's never been, just from like seeing the media attention of it, is of course heavy EDM, like a lot of festivals are, but not exclusively.
Is it? I thought it was just like pop music. Like they got Lady Gaga, Green Day, and Post Malone headlining this year.
My understanding
was three very different artists.
Yes. My understanding was that it was heavy in the EDM side of things, along with like a lot of the other festivals. Now maybe that's some of their day stuff. I don't know. I could be totally wrong on that. That's just my impression of what I've seen online.
Maybe some, well, yeah, now that I'm looking at some of the artists, artists, smaller in the sense of like they're not Lady Gaga. They do look like they might be EDM artists, so maybe you're right, but then, like, the headliners are, like, these huge pop artists.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of headliners you're gonna get are gonna... I mean, that's the draw, right? The biggest draw, anyway.
Yeah.
You said Lady Gaga, Green Day, and who?
Post Malone.
Post Malone. Oh, cool.
And then right under Lady Gaga was Missy Elliott and Benson Boone. Interesting. Right under Green Day was Charlie XCX and the Misfits. So there was some sort of joke or something made. Y'all, I don't really know all the details, but I'm like, let's talk about this. I don't know the details, but we're going to talk about it anyway. But Charlie XCX posted something that was like how she should have been the headliner because, you know, Brat Summer, all this stuff, blah, blah, blah. And then people were like, Green Day has been the music industry. Blah, blah, blah. I don't really care. And, like, I don't really have an opinion either way. That's not me saying I don't really care about Green Day. I think Green Day is great. They do have a lot of, you know.
Yeah, they were my introduction to, like, punk rock.
Yeah. But Charlie XCX is great, too. I actually am kind of surprised she wasn't headliner. But, I mean, number two is still pretty good. But
yeah.
Then one of the members of Green Day, I don't remember which one, but I did see the picture. He wore a sash that said actual headliner or something.
Huh.
And then Charlie, like, retweeted it and was, like, obsessed. So I think it was an all goofy fun. Like, it's not that serious, y'all. I did forget Travis Scott was the other headliner.
Oh, yeah.
And I think I saw something while doing research that his set was, like, cost like $20,000 or something.
Well, it better after, and it should at least be like half safety precautions after that huge
debacle. That was bad.
That was a couple years ago.
That was really bad. But
that on the Astroworld tour.
Why is he even still performing? No, we're not getting into it. But anyway, so that's Coachella. Did any of y'all go to Coachella? Maybe you can educate us on Coachella, because obviously we don't really know much.
I'm not a festival guy personally. Like, I've been to, like, local festivals.
You know,
I had some opportunities to, like, go to, like, Bonnaroo or down to, like, Austin City Limits, and those would have been awesome to go to. Would have loved to go into those. Just, you know, life situations didn't pan out to end up going to those. But it's just, it's a lot of people, and I am very much, like, an introvert. I like going home and doing my thing. That being said, I'm mixing for, it's more of a local festival, but I'm mixing a band for local festival this week, actually.
Oh, nice.
So that'll be fun.
Yeah,
but it's not like a big music festival.
I've never been to a music festival, and honestly, I remember, like, when everyone was talking about Coachella when I was in high school, and I was like, I do not understand the appeal. Like, that looks miserable.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it's not even about the music, blah 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 blah. Yeah. And I just never really had any, like, desire. And then as I've obviously gotten more involved in the music industry now, I have more of a desire. Coachella, I'm like, yeah, it'd be cool to go just to say you've gone. But honestly, I like Bonnaroo, I think I would probably be more interested in, or like Lollapalooza. But
Lollapalooza would be cool.
What I'm really interested in this year is Warped Tour.
Yeah,
y'all,
yeah.
Someone please give me tickets to Orlando Warped Tour. Please, please, please. I am begging you, if anyone knows any bands who's performing and they need an extra guy to be there, I am your guy. I want to see Lolo. I want to see Honey Revenge. I want to see Taylor Acorn. I want to see all the new up-and-coming artists that people are like, we don't know who these bands are. Yeah, that's the point of Warped Tour. But I know who these bands are, and I know they're great performers, and I love their music. So I want to see these artists perform, as well as, like, the bigger artists. In Orlando, I can't think of who's performing. I think, like, 303 might be performing. I know Simple Plan and Avril are performing in D.C. in Bowling for Soup, but I can't remember who's performing in Orlando. Doesn't matter. I still really want to go. If anyone out there has any tickets, let me know. But that being said, speaking of smaller artists, I'm doing great with the transitions today, let me just say. Speaking of smaller artists,
so subtle,
who should be on some good tours, some more, I guess, local news. That is kind of like our idea here, I guess. Provide you with some industry, not industry, so provide you with some music news that you guys might know about already. Provide you with some updates on artists that maybe you've heard of through our show or just through the grapevine, but maybe don't know as much about. Anastasia Elliott, if you've been watching our show at all in the past year, you know who she is. We talk about her all the time because she's an amazing artist, amazing, like, creator.
Yeah,
just so many facets to her artistry that are just incredible. Go check out our interview with her and our live session with her, because she has an amazing voice. But she just released her music video for the song Bleach that she's had out, and it is part of her concept album. So she has released a music video for every single one of these songs in this album, this 13-song album. So I think she only has two more left, I believe, If and When and Good, which is my favorite, and I'm most excited about that one. So it's really crazy that she's like, I mean, if you go watch any of her music videos, you're going to be blown away. and be like, this is an independent artist? How in the world?
Her artistry is beyond just like your singer, songwriter, performer thing. She is a bit of an more, well, more than a bit of an all around artist in that there's huge, cost, huge time and energy put into costuming, into set design, into
every little detail,
all the little details. I think there's, if I remember right, a lot of references internally to other videos, to other things that are all going on. She's building a little bit of like her own little universe and her things. And like you said, it's a concept album, which all the songs are already out, and she's going through those videos, you know, one by one. And each of these videos has something just kind of unique and interesting. Like this last one that we, the Bleach that just came out, is it's one of those cool, like going through different eras and hitting different things. And you see little reoccurring items in the, in her videos. You're like, oh, I've seen that before. Mm-hmm. That's somewhere else.
Yeah. I forget what she said, how many Easter eggs she said are in there, but there's a lot. Yeah. There's a lot of Easter eggs. So like go through and go watch our interview with her where she talks in depth about these music videos, and then go to her channel and watch literally from beginning through how many videos she has out presently, or when she does have all of them out, go through and watch them from beginning to end. It'll probably be like a little movie.
Yeah, it's really cool. I mean, she has a lot of content, and it's not just, you know, one thing. It's not just, oh, hey, here's, you know, some cool songs, but here's some cool videos as well. It's a whole experience. You know, I think of some other artists that have kind of done that kind of thing more recently. I think it was you I was talking to. Well, actually, Quentin Kufall, who's been on our show a number of times, told me to go back and watch Falling in Reverse has come out with some new stuff in the last number of months. And they're, they have a couple videos that I'm like, this, it's a cool song. But at least in their situation, I'm like, it's so much cooler with the video because there's, it's a whole like little experience of its own. It itself is entertainment beyond just, oh, here's a music video. And you know, a lot of Anastasia Elliott stuff is kind of that way too. Like she has some killer music, and that is one difference that I would draw. Like the Falling Universe stuff is cool. The songs are cool, but I don't know that I would personally just go listen to all those songs without the video, but I would like with the video, I'm like, oh, this is really cool. Her stuff, she's got some amazing songs that even outside of watching the videos stand alone very, very well. You know, sometimes when you go to like local artist shows, especially if they're younger artists, like, you know, it's hard to pick out different songs and it's hard to remember different songs. Cause as a writer and a performer, when you're starting out, it's hard to make those separations when you're playing live, like, oh, this is a totally different thing. We've talked about it, I'm pretty sure, on the show before. If not, I know Patrick and I have talked about this in the past. Like when I left Anastasia Elliott's show, it was like, oh, I remember these songs, like a lot of
them. This is rare for him.
Which is rare for me. My memory's horrible, but also like they were so distinctly different that it's like, oh, I remember this melody. I remember this part. I remember this thing. I remember that thing about these different songs and could pinpoint when they were played back to the studio version. Like, that's this song, you know, without going in without knowing any of her stuff, you know, the first time. And that's not always the case with local artists. So if you're you know, new in the industry and you're trying to break in, she's someone I would really look at, you know, locally here in Nashville, that's doing really cool stuff, but able to keep such a core sound to her and a core identity of her vocals, her production, her sound, her identity as a musical thing, but also able in that succinctness to break out and have all these different identities per song and these different, just totally different approaches, sounds that are all cohesive but distinct. And I think that's a really cool thing about her music, just purely on the music side. And the videos are awesome.
Yeah, she's amazing. Well, speaking of more great small artists, I'm telling you, I'm killing it with the transitions tonight. That's 3 for 3. Anyway, speaking of great small artists, we're gonna go do our interview with Dawn, and I'm so excited about it. And we're gonna travel back to the 2000s with Avril Lavigne, with Spice World, Josie and the Pussycats, all of the materialistic, glittery, pink greatness, and talk to Dawn about their journey as artists. So stay tuned for that, and make sure you stay tuned for our live session with them. And make sure you subscribe.
Oh, yeah. Make sure you subscribe. I was like, I don't know where you're going with this. You didn't give me a transition, Patrick. You're 3 for 4
you
now.
You can do that. You can
you're
do that.
3 for 4 now. Thank you so much for watching the show. We appreciate every like, comment, and subscribe. It really does make a difference to us. Share with your friends if you like the show, if you enjoy it, and especially if you find it helpful. Share with the people that you know around you so that they can help, so they can level up their music career as well. Like you said, stay tuned. We are just about to go right into the Dawn interview. Look out for the live sessions. And if you want to see more of Dawn and more of their performances in a small, you know, in a bedroom environment, we have not one but two live sessions that will be coming out with their interview. And you can find that on the Patreon account. We'll have the links down in the description below. You can also find us on su-podcast.com and anywhere that you stream podcasts.
Get ready for season 4. Woo!
Hey guys, it's David Overstreet here from Successfully Unsigned. And as a fellow singer-songwriter here in Nashville, here's 3 quick reasons why you should be affiliated with a performing rights organization, or PRO, better known as an organization that can make sure you get paid for your works as an artist. Number 1, they ensure that you receive royalties when your work is publicly performed. So that means at restaurants, bars, on the radio, they monitor it all for you. Number 2, they help protect your intellectual property. Let's say you register your work here in Nashville and someone decides to infringe upon that work in Oregon. PROs not only monitor authorized plays and use of your work, but also unauthorized use of your work. Then you can say, "Nice try, some guy named Dylan in Oregon." And number 3, it makes it way easier to license your work out to other revenue sources such as TV or movies for sync deals, because they negotiate for you. And as an artist, getting anything off your plate is always a welcome bonus. So if you haven't already, you should register your work with either BMI or ASCAP, whose websites we will link in the description below. For more tips like this, like, subscribe, or go visit our website at su-podcast.com.
Welcome to Successfully Unsigned season 4. We are back. We are better than ever. We have so many great things planned for you. And starting today, an artist that I have been waiting to have on here for about a year. I feel like we were just talking and how we met about a year ago today. And today our guests are the very legendary Dawn.
Legendary. Oh my goodness.
Yes. Yes. Legendary. I am such a big fan of you guys, and am so privileged to now call you friends, but I was a fan first, which we will get into. But before we do, just give me kind of like a history of your band. You know, I know you guys went kind of the indie route for a little bit, and now you're more like pop punk. So what is your history musically, individually, and then kind of how did that come together for both of you?
I love that. So we both have always loved music and been involved with music in varying degrees. For me, it started out just like on LimeWire, literally downloading everything I could find, iTunes single of the week, MySpace. Like that's kind of how I got into music and really wanting to discover new music all the time and make my friends like mix CDs of like the coolest stuff they've never heard. And then I started to play in a couple bands. And that was really fun because I don't know, there's something about music that's just magic. And doing the band thing was always my favorite thing. But finding people to be in a band with you, that's another story. So I started just songwriting and doing stuff kind of on my own for a while. And then we get to college where we met the very last week of our senior year of college. And it was crazy. All 4 years I had seen him around. He was just this really tall, mysterious white man.
Aloof guy.
blonde guy. Yeah. And yeah, we got to talking in like a basement party post Kesha show about, yeah, period, glitter period. Down the face. Yep. And we started talking about like pop punk music that we used to love growing up. So we kind of connected over that. Then we started dating after school. And kind of just music was like a fun thing that we would do occasionally until mm-hmm. we were like, maybe we should do this together.
And you guys are coming up on 10 years of dating, right?
Yeah.
It's so exciting. It's a crazy milestone. Almost like we were just talking about, like, wasn't 10 years ago, it was literally like Spring Fling when we
the Kesha concert.
Yeah.
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 It's crazy. But
just wild. Yeah. No, I guess for me, like, I was always playing in bands like mm-hmm. through middle school and high school. Like, mm-hmm. Like we were trying to basically be. You know, Fall Out Boy or Boys Like Girls. Boys Like Girls was actually from my hometown. So that was like the band that I was like, we were trying to model ourselves after. And, you know, so we went through a bunch of different members, ended up like no longer being in that band in college and started doing like recording for other bands, actually. So I would like record my friends' bands. And then eventually I met McCall and I was like, hey, you know, maybe this is a good band member that we can actually work together as not just dating, but being band members. Like, that'd be pretty cool to try out. So we were doing, like, the electronic, like, indie pop thing. Like, it was kind of in style back in, like, God, that was 2016. Yeah. Just crazy how long ago that is.
Yeah.
And, you know, we were doing okay at it. I mean, it was a little bit out of our comfort zone for, like, what we were used to writing. And then we were just like, you know what? Hey, why don't we just start making pop punk music again? And then, like, this is around 2020, you know, the MGK album came out and I think inspired a lot of people that, hey, you know, maybe gotcha. Maybe people still have interest in this genre.
Okay. Yeah. Very cool. So I knew you were in like some boy bands and such.
Boy bands for sure.
It's actually realize... right behind you right now. Oh. His poster. That's his old band there.
Yeah.
This one? Yeah.
Oh my, that's
yeah.
you.
Yeah.
I didn't even recognize you.
That's so funny.
That's crazy.
Their band actually, I think, gave Pete Wentz a mixtape once.
We did meet Pete Wentz one time.
That's amazing.
we were auditioning for it.
Check out One Step Away.
Their music's still up there.
Oh,
it's,
okay.
It's pretty good.
That's
it's catchy.
Incredible. I can't believe I never caught that. Okay, what were you like singing in your previous bands?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
I like occasionally will play the guitar, but for me it was always about like frontman vibes for sure.
Right, yeah. right. Main character.
Gotta
energy.
Be center of attention, you know.
And I was like the exact opposite. I was the bass player, and then I was like the guitar player, and I was like, dude, just keep me out of the attention as much as you can. But I still want to be in the band, obviously.
Right,
you know.
Right.
So
yeah.
So what? Like, I mean, it's great that you know you're not having to necessarily deal with like a bunch of band members that maybe you don't necessarily like. But obviously being a couple who also works together in a sense brings its own set of challenges. So what does that look like? And what does it look like when you guys disagree on something as a band?
Yeah, I mean, it's really hard having two people in a band when you when you disagree on something because you don't have a third person to like weigh in. So if we disagree on a TikTok or something, we're like scrambling, trying to like text a friend, be like, can you vote? Please tell us what you think.
Yeah.
Or it's like if one of us wants to cut a song and the other is like, then it's like you don't have that third person with a strong opinion to kind of outweigh you. So I'd say that's the downside. And I guess we make up for it kind of by just, you know, asking friends. And honestly, the Discord that we have has been so helpful for that when we're like unsure of which design to go with, or if we're like, is this song worth cutting? Like that, having that confidence that the fans buy into it as well is amazing.
Yes, we're gonna get into the Discord just a little bit later, but go join their Discord. I'm part of it. Like, we're always chatting it up in there. That you guys share some
Patrick is a celebrity
stuff.
In the Discord, believe me. He's like the third band member.
I have been mistaken as their drummer before. If you guys don't know, go check out our tour episode that we did. It was the last episode of our last season. And I got to go on tour with you guys, and you guys are going on tour again, which we'll talk about, but I will be joining them again. So I'm so excited.
So,
so excited.
It's going to be even crazier this time.
I know it really is. So I did want to talk about just like you guys have such a decent, like you have a really good following. When did you start noticing? So I know with your song Mixed Signals, you've talked about that's kind of when you realize like, oh, wow, this is like something we really could be really good at.
Yeah.
So was it at that point that you kind of started gaining traction, or was it 2002 that you started gaining traction, or kind of what has that process of growth looked like?
I mean, I think growth is a constant thing. You know, it's like when we first put out Mixed Signals, which was for so long ago, it was like that was the first time that we felt like validated. Like our friends were like, we love this song, you know, okay. And we loved the song too. And we were just like kind of energized to like go down that route musically. But I think like growth is a continuous thing. So, you know, it's like 2002 was a huge milestone for us. But like we've had moments like our song like Effed Up Lullaby. Right. But like that was another huge like kind of breakout. Yeah. Moment for us on TikTok, you know, where we finally figured out, you know, how to reach people. And, you know, as controversial as that song is, it did teach us a lot about, you know, making fans and growing the platform.
Definitely. And about like once you start to get some interest, like you'll also get some haters too. That was an interesting one for us because it came with the flip side, which was cool because I feel like art should be controversial.
Right.
So
yeah,
I think
McCall's a little bit more willing to deal with hate than I am. Like, I'm like, if anyone hates it, I'm like, no, we shouldn't even put it up, take it down. But McCall's like, no, that's good.
All right. Well, especially with like 2002, it's always so hard when you do like a cover of something. Mm-hmm. And especially with that, like that's going to bring so much different opinions and, you know, the whole idea. But it's really cool that, I mean, you guys got to work with Bowling for Soup.
Yes.
And like literally have Jared's phone number. Like that's just so crazy.
The fact that Jared approves it means that I'm not going to listen to the haters on that one.
Exactly. What is there anything else like you can really say about like working with him, or like, was that just such a crazy experience?
It was wild. I feel like I'm still in disbelief that like, because I used to listen to that song. Like, I remember in middle school on my iPod, I had that. And I was like, God, this song is such a banger. You know, like, probably not like banger.
It was like my family's so favorite sick. Song.
Yes. So just being able to, it's cool, too, because I feel like until you get to actually talk with somebody at that level, you don't really realize just, like, how much of a, they're just like you, really. Mm-hmm. I always think that like celebrities and like super famous musicians and stuff are gonna just be above it, but he was just like so chill, down to earth, wanted to support us, got things going. It was it was really cool.
Also, like, how being in the music industry, like, I'm fairly new to the music industry, but realizing like how accessible a lot of people really are if you just meet the right people and network, which is what we always suggest on the show. Like, go to shows, talk to people, get your name out there, and you'll eventually come upon the right people that will promote you the way you want to be promoted.
Definitely. I feel like consistency and honestly just being genuine and kind is so important in any creative industry.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
And that is like the number one thing that I, whenever I'm talking about you guys, like, I obviously have a lot of merch, which we'll also get to. But I got a compliment on my hat the other day. I've gotten compliments on this shirt, and I'm always like, go check them out. Like, love their music. And I do truly love y'all's music. But the other thing that I love about you guys is that you're just such genuine people. And, like, all of the people that I know that know you guys are just, like, they're just so sweet. And, like, it's very common sometimes to come across people who maybe have as much of your following who are just kind of like, oh, like, I'm above you. Yeah. But you guys are so sweet and kind. And, like, even just the fact that you have, like, our friendship has grown when I was a fan first, you know?
Yeah.
And seeing that with your fans on tour, especially, too. Like, it was so cool to see so many fans come on tour and you guys meet them and, like, genuinely give them the time of day. It wasn't just like, okay, we'll take a quick selfie and then see ya. Like, I gotta go. You guys really took the time, sometimes to the point where the venue was like, you guys need to leave. But it just, I really appreciate your guys's attitude with the whole process.
Of course.
Well,
I mean, I feel like we're too old to not be humble at this point.
That's fair.
Okay. Yeah. To me,
25 is a really,
25 is a hard age to be. Yeah. But I feel like, you know, we're so grateful to just have people listening now. Yeah. You know, we did the music thing for so long and people weren't listening. So we're just so grateful that it's like people, there's at least a few people who are and care about us. Yeah. So like, we're blown away that anybody is still, you know, hanging out with us.
Well, to me, music, like going back to like the mix CDs and like LimeWire and discovering this is like a way to connect and meet people and share your interests. Like, it's like an unspoken, like, emotional bond between people. So when we're creating whatever, we're like literally putting ourselves, like how we're feeling and our like everything into there. So the fact that people are going to come up and be like, I listen to this, like, that's like, so impactful, and you deserve more than just like the time of day. Like, yes. I want to connect you. I want to know what you liked, what you didn't like. I want to, you know, we clearly have like commonalities. So I want to meet all those people.
Right, right. Well, it's also really cool, like, seeing fans talk about like your old music too. Like, it seems like there's a lot of fans that are like, I really like the so indie funny. Sound as well.
Oh my God.
I mean, I'm like, we did end up taking some of it down. Maybe we'll put it under a different name someday. But yeah, I was like, the indie songs, there was nothing wrong with them. They're just a different genre.
Right. It's really cool to see like just such a dedicated fan base. But I do have a question, like, you know, you guys go to your page, your TikTok page, your Instagram page.
Yeah.
And you guys have like a very good following. Your Discord has a like good amount of people in it. It's pretty active and everything. But knowing you guys, like, I also know some of the behind the scenes and like how much you still at the end of the day like are struggling independent artists.
Yeah.
And like, that's not me trying to, you know, go against you or say that, like, but I think it is
it's
kind of a reality. Like, we met some people on tour that were like, oh, I was so sure this was going to like sell out every single show.
Yeah.
And so just, I think it shows the reality of like, you know, look, even when you have a big following, we still out here struggling.
It's a fake it till you make it kind of industry, you know. And it's like, you got to have that wave of like hype behind you, mm-hmm. that like people think the show is going to sell out, so they got to buy the tickets in advance, you know.
Right.
Well, I think a big part of it too is people are just tired and everything's expensive. Getting people to a show now is just
we're sounding so 30 right now.
Well, no, I don't think that's just 30. I think that's just like
that's life right now.
Yeah, I agree. I just feel like the live music environment pre-COVID was like this completely different space,
right?
That we never, maybe we don't know, maybe I don't know what it was like, but like, as a concert goer and to a lot of indie bands, I feel like I was seeing a lot more people wanting to go out and socialize. Mm. And now I think people just kind of prefer to just stay home. You have to really, really convince people.
Well, there's just so much stuff to do at home now. You know, also you got the internet, you have streaming. There's like
the internet? I've never heard of that.
Dial-up?
Yeah. This is the year 2004.
In this bedroom.
Hold on a second. Let me check.
You got to compete with all those things to sell tickets now. So that's what's tough.
Yeah.
So how do you kind of deal with, like, some of the discouragement of, you know, realizing, like, wow, we have all these dedicated fans, but, you know, we're still not making, like, we can't make music a full-time career.
Yeah.
I think a lot of people will struggle with that because the barrier to making it full-time is so high right now. Mm-hmm. But I also think at the same point, we're living in an era where you can make a TikTok and, like, your song can go viral in a second. Mm-hmm. And that never existed back in 2015, 2016 when we first started. The best thing you could do back then was get on a blog playlist. Or a Spotify playlist. Yeah. That was really your only option. There was no, or maybe Reddit. There was, like, no other social media that you were going to blow up on, like TikTok. Mm-hmm.
The organic reach is crazy. Like, we're meeting so many people and, like, getting our music in front of so many people. Like, and yes, even with all those people and the following and stuff, it's hard to draw. But I think the connection is what's really cool.
It's a slow progress. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's like, if you, whether you sell like 20 tickets or you sell 200 tickets, like, it's like you're going to like go back the next time and hopefully sell like twice as much. Yeah. So I think you got to build from something, because like what we've realized is that in-person audience and online audience aren't necessarily the same thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And you have to like make sure people realize that the in-person experience is like unique and different than just listening online.
I also think like putting it into perspective of like, you know, tell yourself 10 years ago that, hey, like we have 100,000 followers on both Instagram and TikTok.
Right.
It's crazy.
This thing called TikTok. Like, you'd be like, wait, what? Like,
I'd just be like, oh my God, we're going on tour. We're playing all of the cities in the Midwest that I can name pretty much.
Yeah. Very, very cool.
Yeah.
We put out a CD. Like, that's so sick.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. I love y'all CD and the art.
The CD was such an undertaking to make, but it came out so, so good. And by undertaking, I mean McCall spent so much time on it. And I said, that looks great.
We'll talk about merch on the Patreon, but we did a little clip about like merch, and I did such a big shout out for y'all because I just am obsessed with y'all's merch. So I know we have talked about it personally, but we're called Successfully Unsigned, so you guys are currently independent, but do you feel like you're at the level to where you could get signed? Is that something that you would want?
Yeah.
Just because I also know you guys and like how particular you are about your, you know, music and brand and everything. And like, you guys have it kind of set down to a certain way.
Yeah.
So what would that look like giving a piece of yourself to a label?
Yeah. I mean, so truthfully, like, I don't know what, like, I feel like labels are changing very, like, mm-hmm. a lot these days after, you know, COVID and after the TikTok had its boom. And then now mm-hmm. TikTok is different for artists. It's a lot mm-hmm. harder to get out there. I think, yes, obviously we're interested in deals because I think the connections that come along with it are so like valuable and so amazing. But like, we're also happy to just keep grinding, you know, the independent route. Like, I feel like we've finally just started building a machine that can like carry itself, you know, of just like recording the songs ourselves and releasing them. And like, honestly, that what it comes down to is it's not about like the label or connections. It's always about the fans. So it's like right now we still have the ability to reach people and create our music. So like, therefore, we can still like continue to grow, hopefully.
Yeah. I think building out our team to help execute the vision mm-hmm. is super important to us. Like, there's all of these ideas that I have for like making our music into more of an experience.
Right.
And we can only do so much with everything that like being able to have more help with that would be sweet. But honestly, it's really cool to be fully independent mm-hmm. as well. So we'll see. Again, like Mike said, it's all about the fans.
It's a matter of wearing every hat and managing your time and somehow fitting in a 9-to-5.
Yep. Well, especially on tour, like I told some of my friends after, I was like, y'all, that because I obviously knew your social media was very like, very present, like very branded. Like, you guys really kind of know what you're doing. But watching you guys actively do it, I was like, this is like a scientist. Like,
I am so sorry.
No, it was so cool because I'm like, you guys truly do have it like down to a science. So how have you been able to kind of curate that and figure out like what works and what doesn't?
Yeah.
And once again, I guess it sort of goes with the label. Like, would you ever be willing to kind of put that responsibility in someone else's hands if it got to be too much for you?
I think we would need to definitely still have our branding super involved like the vision, like,
and I feel like I feel like labels still do want you to be super involved in social media. They just might have like a coach that like, you know, helps you make ideas, but
honestly everyone's just guessing all the time.
They literally are, and everyone's copying each other at the same time.
Yeah. We literally just
and no shade because we copy everyone too.
That's just how it is. Yeah, of course. Like, whether or not we see something that works well for one artist and we just tweak it to fit our brand, or if we have a crazy idea and we're like, let's just try this out and see what it does.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And sometimes it pays off, and sometimes you have a big flop and you're like, okay, well, maybe that didn't work today. But to be honest, 2002, when we first put it out in 2021, like, I did a stupid TikTok video,
mm-hmm.
got like very minimum, like 30K really? Views, something like, and I was like, wow, this is dumb. 2 years later, Mike maybe brought it up and was like, we should just try that again and see what happens.
I was like, we should repost it. That was a good video.
Yeah.
It did well. Because that was like probably our most viewed video at the time was like.
And then it got like 3 million views in Jarrett and like.
That's crazy. I did not realize.
It was a big flop initially.
I think we'd literally just originally done two videos. We did the chorus and then we did the verse. And then we were just like, okay, that's enough. We'll move on. Because we weren't expecting to put it out. We were just doing it for fun at the time. Because obviously you don't go out there and say, all right, I'm going to work with Bowling for Soup. Let me make a parody and they're going to talk to me. Like, that doesn't happen.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Very interesting. How much time do you guys think you spend on working on socials a day?
Way too much. I mean, I think I'd say a minimum like 2 hours.
Okay. That's actually not terrible.
The video we did today, I feel like sometimes it's a lot faster. Sometimes, like, some of the videos that I do are like intense edits.
Yeah, like the MySpace videos or like, but some of those you can like reuse clips. Not MySpace. MySpace ones, I don't want to call us to redo a lot of stuff, but like some of the like Coming Home from School in the 2000s or like certain like
I love those ones though.
Oh good, I'm glad.
Yeah,
I love those. I feel like we just want our community to be a really comforting place where you can deal with the stress that you have in a healthy, nostalgic way.
Yeah,
because I know a lot of people say like don't get dragged too much into nostalgia, but I feel like nostalgia really is just a memory of something without anxiety. So if you can pull that into your current anxiety, I feel like it's a good yin and yang.
Well, that literally is the perfect transition because, you know, so obviously, like, I am a big fan just because, like, I love early 2000s nostalgia, like anyone who knows me. And obviously you guys do as well. You even brand yourself as
the whose room is this?
As the new nostalgia. But did you ever intend for your brand to be 2000s before 2002?
I like have to like go back and think about it. And I think a little, but not to the extent that it is now. Like, I remember we were still like, we want to make nostalgic sounding pop punk music. Right. That's kind of our angle.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
Like, we were like, before 2002, we had still had Thanks. Mm-hmm. We had like Depressed in Heaven. We had which actually came out so much later. But
anybody else
we had done. Yeah. So there was a lot of stuff like in that nostalgic, like Hillary Duff vein, where we were like, okay, we want to do like if Hillary Duff met with like Fall Out Boy or something like that. Like that kind of nostalgic collab, but we had never like done to the extent of like, oh, we're full on like into the nostalgia thing,
right?
But then 2002 happened, and it was just kind of like a natural thing where it was just like
nostalgic cup. The best.
Both of us are like very into it as well. Like we still have all of our old stuff from childhood. Like I still have my GameCube, my Game Boys, and it's like all that stuff is still so like fun and enjoyable that it was just like an easy transition that actually made so much sense with, and like, I think catapulted the brand, honestly. It made a lot of, it like resonated with a lot of other people.
Definitely.
Well, and I guess you sort of already answered this, but I was saying how like Mike, you and I once were talking, you said like, I feel like people just always talk about the past with us. So do you sometimes feel like you've put yourself in a corner, or are you like, is that ever a worry with your branding and everything?
Somewhat. Like, sometimes we'll have conversations that's like, okay, is this going to be us forever?
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's always going to have, like, a root in that feeling because I love the comfort that comes with it. And I want people to feel that in the music, whether or not they grew up during the same time we grew up. Like, I see so many people who are a lot younger or older, mostly younger, and they're like, I wish I was born in the 2000s, like, what a comforting time. And I feel like it was kind of that last stretch before we just got so overstimulated by everything, and we have like a personal computer on us 24/7. You can't like turn anything off. So I love the idea of pulling from that. I think the brand and the sound will evolve. I think there'll be other eras that we'll go through, like this next album that we're doing definitely branches out a bit. I think that's cool.
I mean, I think also like the branding of the 2000 stuff like aligns with some of the concepts of songs we've written. And I feel like that's kind of like our promotional angle too at the moment. Like I know BRB TTYL, that like whole album was like,
did you just say TTYL in a weird, that was weird.
Don't
say
ask why that happened. But that like EP, that album, there was a lot of songs with like nostalgic concepts, so it made sense to kind of promote them hand in hand with nostalgia. But you know, there's other songs that are coming out or that have come out where we kind of try and promote them through a different angle too. So it's
so good.
It's part of the brand, but it's not the entire brand. And obviously, like, me and McCall being like from that era and like loving that era is part of our personalities too, so it kind of just comes out naturally.
Well, and I think with any band, like, obviously you're going to have a certain sound, and then you learn to adapt. And so, like, I think of even big bands, like, I don't know, first one that comes to mind is Paramore. And when they shifted to like the Ain't It Fun era, people are like, we miss the old Paramore. And then they switched to Hard Times and like After Laughter, and people are like, what in the world are you doing? But as a band, like, look, they've been doing it for how many years? Like, you gotta grow, and you change your tastes.
You
and
try
everything.
Different stuff for sure. You can't just make the same thing over and over.
Absolutely. Also, side note, I was wearing this. I literally wear this hat probably every day now, almost.
Really? Oh, I love it.
Which I am not a hat person, he can tell you. But like, I wear this hat all the time now.
So funny.
And I had someone ask me like what it was, and so I was like, oh, it's like this really cool band. Like, you should check them out. And she was just like looking at it, and she was like,
what does it say?
What does BRB TTYL mean? And I was like,
oh,
and she goes, oh, does it mean be right back? Talk to you later. I was like, yeah, my bad. I didn't realize that's what you were asking.
Well, but I'm glad you thought to promote first. That was
absolutely
sweet.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's not just a phrase. It's a concept. You had
it's
to
a lifestyle. It's
not just a phrase, and it's not a phase.
So, like I said, we went on tour back in October, had the time of our lives. At least I know I did. Like, I knew I would enjoy it, but man.
We had a lot of fun.
We had a lot of fun. Like I said, go check out our tour episode that we did for the last episode of our last season. It was our Halloween special. And I talk all in details about it. But we're about to be going on tour again. I do y'all's merch, by the way. I'm not the drummer. I'm not, like, I'm the hype man and a merch guy, which I feel like I do pretty good. Yeah.
The best in the business, really. Yeah.
Yes, yes. I try. But, yeah, talk about the tour and, you know, who we're doing it with and everything. And yeah. I'm so excited.
Yeah, same. We're really excited about this tour because it's going to be different. I've been really... All of us have been playing around with the idea of making it more of an experience than just a show. The idea being that you were born in the wrong era. So basically you're going to show up and be transported back in time with us to the 2000s. Yes. There's a little nod to Taylor Swift in there too for the Eras Tour, which we're going on tour with Jack the Underdog, who's a really awesome pop punk alternative artist here in Nashville. And also does a lot of Swemo covers, which... super fun. So there's a little bit of
Swemo is Swift emo.
Yes.
Swift
for
emo.
Those who don't know.
Yes. So it's going to be, it's definitely going to be an experience. The goal is to make you feel like you have left this century. No. Decade.
1999, well, maybe.
No, this decade is the 20s. So yeah. You're right.
Why is it century? Oh, I you're mean, right.
I guess.
2000s would be the century.
Century,
though.
But then a little bit past the century.
This decade and then the last decade. Yeah. You're going back two decades.
Two decades.
More or less.
Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, but we're super excited. It's going to be a little bit longer than the last tour. I think it's like almost like 1.5 times as long. So it's 10 cities instead of just 7. And yeah, we're so excited. We're going to play McCall's hometown show in Minneapolis for the first time. We're going to go to Chicago, which is our number one city on Spotify for the first time.
Ooh.
We're really excited. Yeah.
I'm and really also, excited for Chicago. That's the only place I know people in.
I've heard it's also a huge pop punk city, so
yes.
It might be a big show.
Yes.
You never know.
Will Uncle Steve make an appearance at one of the shows?
God, I hope so.
Shout out Uncle Steve.
What a gem. My family's going to be showing up in Minnesota because my mom has 9 brothers and sisters. So
I did not realize that.
Yeah. Watch out. Okay. Everywhere you turn, there's going to be a Wallish. You're going to be like, get out of here, Wallishes.
We need to do an Uncle Steve car reaction video at some point. It would be the most iconic.
Yes, I love y'all's car reaction video. Go check out our car reaction video that we did for BRBTTYL.
I loved it.
Where I didn't know
about the Great Escape.
The Great Escape by Boys Like Girls, and I got roasted for it in the comments.
As you should.
Well, can we expect any... Well, first, let's talk about your new song that you just released literally a few days ago.
Yep.
Everyone, I feel like, on the Discord is obsessed with it. People were saying that they were crying in their cars to it. It's called Getting Older Scares Me to Death.
Is there any song we're going to release where people aren't crying to it?
Also fair. It's the
crying
genre,
and
you know?
Moshing.
It's okay. We're starting out really existential. Uh-huh. And then it's going to just, we're going to get a little bit like hard, like more intense existential and then really fun.
Perfect.
That's this year.
Okay. Well, that being said, like, can we expect new music on the tour and everything?
Yes. Well, we may have a song potentially with Jack the Underdog dropping soon.
Okay.
Secret. Just in time for tour. But we also have, you know, plans for a second EP to follow up BRBTTYL.
Okay. Very exciting.
We were talking actually about like doing a double-sided vinyl, which would be cool, but that's kind of just a thought and nothing official.
You just got everyone so excited. So. Be careful.
Yeah, so one side old album, other side the new album.
Yeah.
Always like a pink glittery vinyl.
Yes.
Yeah, I was like, imagine how cool it'd be to have pink on one side and then the other side
is
the other album color.
Oh.
Which is definitely going to be black, let's be real.
Oh,
we don't know yet.
Amazing. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm so excited. I love all the new songs. I love Any Other Girl. I love Getting Older Scares Me to Death. That one has been on repeat. But also, if you want to check out their unreleased stuff, go to their Discord. Is it in your Instagram?
It is. Our Discord is in our Instagram.
Yes.
And if you make it to the top 8 rank, which... may take sending something like 500 messages in the Discord or something like that.
But let me tell you,
you
some
will
people
get, to hear
get
the
there
demos.
Quickly.
But yeah, people chat a lot in there. It's crazy.
Great.
I never thought anybody was
going
to reach rank 10, and then now there are like 20 people in that chat, which is crazy.
So do we need like further roles? Like, I don't even know.
I think
just come join us
at that
Discord.
Point. At that point, you're all that you're there because you're part of the community.
That's so
real.
Join the Discord. We talk about Discord. We talk about Pokemon. Talk about RuneScape.
Yeah.
But like they said, Dale needs to join the Discord. But like they said, if you get into their top eight, yes, you might have some access to some.
That's your incentive songs to, you know, help be a part of the Discord and keep the community going. Mm-hmm. Is, you know, you get the sneak peek at all the demos.
Yes, and let me just say, some of the demos are very, very good. Like, I really enjoy them, so I'm excited for them. Well, I appreciate you guys so much. We're going to continue this conversation over on our Patreon. We have a Patreon now, y'all. This is crazy. So please join our Patreon if you want to hear even more of from Dawn. We're going to talk about merch. We're going to talk about music videos. We'll probably talk about something 2000s, as always. And it's going to be a fun time. So make sure to go join our Patreon, and you can find all that information in the description. Make sure to follow us. Make sure to follow Dawn. It's at dawn.music, D-A-V-V-N,
yep,
or Davin for some people.
We'll take it. We'll take it.
This is going to happen one day.
One day. The two V's. I think it has to be
that's you.
It does have to be you. It's like a very 303 kind of vibe.
I think it's weird if you do the thing together, I'll be honest.
All right. Well, I thought it was cute. But
no, it is cute. But you do it yourself. Yeah, that's cool.
This was going to be really cute.
No. I love it. Go listen to their music because it's really, really good. And it's going to make you cry in your car, apparently.
And then scream.
Yes.
Yep.
And once again, go subscribe, follow us everywhere at su-podcasts.com. And we will see you guys over on the Patreon.
Yay!
I can't wait to find something else Patrick doesn't know about. Yay! The Great Escape has nothing on. Think of something super.